Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, your word is true. Lord, we come to your scriptures now. Lord, let them breathe life into our hearts and our souls. Lord, let truth ring out. And Lord, let your truth change our hearts to see how huge your love for us is. Lord, reveal yourself now, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. If you've got a Bible, you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 21, starting at verse 10. Now, this is a weird piece of Old Testament scripture, but I absolutely love it, and you'll find out in a moment why I like this bit of passage so much. But I love the Old Testament. The Old Testament, for me, is just this great source of life that we can engage with. You've got story after story of story of people who are desperately seeking all they possibly can do to try and live a life for God, and failing miserably, so it makes me feel better about myself, but people who are really looking to see the true heart of who God is and his true nature. So if you're in 1 Samuel 21, starting at verse 10, it says this. I'm saying that. That day, David fled from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, "Isn't this David, the king of the land? Isn't he the one they sing about in their dances? Saul has slain thousands and David tens of thousands." David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, king of Gath. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. And whilst he was in their hands, he acted like a madman, making marks on the doors and the gates, and letting saliva run down his beard. Achish said to his servants, "Look at the man. He's insane. Why bring him to me? Am I so short of madmen that you have to bring this fellow here and carry on like this in front of me? Must this man come into my house?" David left Gath and escaped to the caves of Adullam. When his brothers and father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were distressed or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their commander. About 400 men were with him. What a lovely random piece of scripture. So basically what's happened is David's on the run from Saul, and he thinks it's a good idea while running from Saul to go to Gath. Now, if you think about Gath, it's a place where Goliath comes from. So, you know, David's not going to be that popular in this particular place. And he goes there thinking that no one will know who he is. And when he gets there, the people recognize him, and he thinks, oh no, what do I do? So what do you do in this circumstance? You pretend to be mad. It's great, he pretends to be mad. And so he acts like an absolute crazy man. And it says, I love it, it talks about saliva running down his beard. And in the King James it says, spittle ran down his beard. And I love that word, spittle. What a great word. So he's there, acting like an absolute madman in front of King Achish. And then what happens is he then escapes, and he goes and hides in these caves and meets his father's household there. Now, sometimes when you read the Old Testament, you think, wouldn't it be great to get a bit of insight into what's going on in these people's minds when these things are happening? And the great thing about David is because David writes so many different psalms, actually a lot of his psalms relate to stories and events that happened in his life. And so when he's there, in prison, in Gath, there's a psalm which relates to that. So if you've got your Bibles, you might want to turn to Psalm 56, which Steve's going to read to us now.
This is from the contemporary English version. "Have pity, God Most High. My enemies chase me all day. Many of them are pursuing and attacking me. But even when I'm afraid, I keep on trusting you. I praise your promises. I trust you. I'm not afraid. No one can harm me. Enemies spend the whole day finding fault with me. All they think about is how to do me harm. They attack me from ambush, watching my every step and hoping to kill me. They won't get away with these crimes, God, because when you get angry, you destroy people. You have kept a record of my days of wandering. You have stored my tears in your bottle and counted each one of them. When I pray, Lord God, my enemies will retreat because I know for certain that you are with me. I praise your promises. I trust you and I'm not afraid. No one can harm me. I will keep my promises to you, my God, and bring you gifts. You protected me from death and kept me from stumbling so that I would please you and follow the light that leads to life. Word of the Lord.
And so it's great when you can look in the scriptures and you can see the heart of someone. And David is someone who's called a man after God's own heart. And his heart is to cry out to the one who, in whom he puts his trust. He's there in this really awful situation where he's having to spend every day, every minute, pretending to be mad. And he can't let up on that in case people might freak out and find out who he is. And so he's there and his heart is, I'm going to turn to God. I'm going to turn to God and I'm going to worship him. And I'm going to remind God and myself of the promises that God has made to me and my life. And I'm going to ask him to help me escape from this situation. I'm going to ask him to help me out because I can do nothing in this situation at all. I'm going to come and bring my prayer and my praise before God. But you see, one thing I want to bring to attention, you see. So when we go back to 1 Samuel. After he escapes, it says that he goes to these caves and then people from his father's household come. And it says that these people were distressed, in debt, discontented. Do you ever feel distressed, in debt, discontented? It says in another translation, these people were bitter in soul. Do you ever feel bitter in soul? Do you ever feel that like actually, everything about this life is just, it's like bitterness to me. These people felt bitter in soul. They were distressed, they were discontented because, as part of David's household, Saul was after them as well. Saul was out to get them as well as David. Actually, in their own land, they weren't even welcome because they were connected with David. Have you ever felt as a Christian that because of who you belong to, because you belong to God, you're not welcome in your own land? You're not welcome in the situation that you find yourself in? David comes to these people. And it says at the end, then David became their leader. Something changes in the moment. Something happens there. But these people go from being discontented, bitter in spirit, bitter in soul, suddenly wanting to follow David and do whatever he tells them to do. Being prepared to go wherever he will lead them to go. Something changes in that moment. We don't really know. It didn't say in the scriptures what happens there. But something happens to change them from being so bitter, so downcast, to being made more alive, willing to go and do something with David, being uplifted, being encouraged. And what I believe, this is me reading into it slightly, but looking at the scriptures, and if we turn to Psalm 34, it says, this is a psalm that David writes after he's escaped from Gath. And I think Psalm 34 maybe is the song that David sings to these people. That he shares his testimony, he shares his story. And I wonder when he sings Psalm 34 with them. And Psalm 34 says this.
I will exalt the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man, the Lord heard him. He saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamp around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lion may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children,
"Listen to me. I will teach you to fear the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the face of the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all of their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from all of them. He protects all of his bones. Not one will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. Not one will be condemned who takes refuge in him."
What an amazing psalm. What an amazing, amazing psalm.
But I love how it starts.
"I will exalt the Lord at all times." We've just heard Psalm 56, a psalm of David when he's in prison, the heartbeat of him saying, "Lord, I'm here. People everywhere, on every side of me, are pursuing me hotly. They are wanting the worst for me. But God, cry out to you for who you are." David is someone who is speaking from his experience. He's saying, "I want to praise the Lord at all times. I will always exalt him. His name will always be on my lips." And then he says, "Exalt the Lord with me. Exalt the Lord with me," saying, "Join in my joy. Join in with me. Come and worship God with me. Let's do this together." He's saying, "I've learned that when I worship the Lord, when his name is always on my lips, it allows me in the midst of any circumstance to find a peace. You here who are bitter in soul, who are indebted, who are discontented, who are feeling really just like life is a bit pants. Let's worship the Lord together. Let's help each other now. Let's share our story. Hear my testimony about what God has done for me in my life. Let's exalt his name together." I think he got them to sing some worship songs. I think that's what he was doing there in the caves. He was saying, "Let's share our stories. Let's remind ourselves of who God is. Let's remind ourselves of all the times in our lives when God has broken through and he has done something for us." He goes on to talk about how, saying, "You know, I was in a really bad place, but God rescued me from that place." And we know that's true because he's there. He just escaped from Gath. He's just been delivered by the Lord. David here, I think, is simply sharing his testimony about his relationship with God and what God has done for him, and saying, "When I find adversity in my life, I come back to God. I come back to who he is." And it says, "I will fear the Lord. I'll teach you to fear the Lord." And the idea of fearing God isn't about being terrified of God. It's about recognizing the magnitude of how awesome he is, how huge he is. That this is the God who is, if we were not saved, he would be terrifying. But because we are saved, we see that the fear of the Lord is a way of love, a radical love, which is massive and huge. Fear the Lord. Get to know who he is. Get to know his character. Get to understand the reverence of how big our God can be. And last week I talked about love and saying that if you want to understand what love truly looks like, we have to get to know God better, because God is love. His nature is love. And therefore, to fully grasp what love should look like, we have to get to know the nature of God, because his nature is love. And only when we know the nature of God can we fully love as God would have us love. David is saying, worship reminds me of who God is. Worship elevates God. It is reverence to God. It's saying, "God, you are this. God, you are this. These things are true. And even when I don't feel like it in my life, even when life doesn't seem to be dealing me the cards that I want, even though life seems a bit rubbish, I believe that you are still the author of creation. I still believe you are God of love. You're still a God of mercy. You're still a God of compassion. You're still a God who provides for me. You're still a God who ultimately loves me and wants the best for me, knows my heart, knows my situation. That's what worship does. But it's not just worship, it's testimony to who God is. And one of the greatest things that we all share is a story and a journey with God. And I don't know about you, but have you ever had that situation when you've known someone for years and suddenly they start sharing a story about God in their life that you've never heard? And you think, where's that come from? And you go, why have you never told me this? Because that's incredible. What an incredible story of faith. What an incredible journey that God's taken you on to get to this point. And people's testimonies are so powerful. And we've made the word testimony to mean how I became a Christian. And that's fine, but that's not our testimony. Our testimony is the life of God. It's what our experience of God has been. All that we have experienced of God is our testimony. And sharing testimony is one of the most powerful things we can do corporately. Because when someone's having a bad day, there might be someone else in the congregation who's actually, God's just an amazing miracle. And we can go, well, if God's done it for you, he can do it for you too. Hearing when God has done something is the most inspiring thing ever. That's the thing that gets me going. When I hear that God has, well, there's been a miracle, or someone's come to know God, or someone has had a situation in their life, or a circumstance in their life which has been really challenging, and then God has broken through and done something about it. That, for me, is the thing that gets me excited about my faith. That's the thing that really, really encourages me, because I'm going, oh yeah, this is real, isn't it? This actually is true. This isn't just words on a page. This is a living relationship with God, which actually affects my life and affects the people around me. See, what happens is when we worship God and we share testimony, the first thing that happens is it restores our hope. Because hope is often the first thing to go in our lives. And the New Testament is full of talking about how the hope we have in Jesus, the hope we have in the future eternity of the kingdom, the hope that we have in the God who has saved us. And if the enemy can take away our hope, it's the first steps to crushing us. Because if you've got no hope, what's the point of life? What's the point in living? So the first thing that worship and testimony have the power to do is restore your hope. And when your hope is restored, because it says in the scriptures that faith is the substance of things hoped for, it means that when your hope is restored, your faith increases, and suddenly it leads you to live a life of action for God. These people in the scriptures, it says they were bitter in soul. David says something to them. I believe it's probably something like Psalm 34. And then they're prepared to follow him and go wherever he wants to go. It leads us to live this life for God. This is why worship is so important in our life. This is why sharing our stories is so important in life. Because on our own, it's very easy to become discontented. It's very easy on our own to become downcast. And the reason we come together to worship God corporately isn't because it's what we've always done. It's because we're saying we want to come and worship God together to be inspired, to encourage one another, to build each other up, so that we can all start to taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's what testimony is all about. That's what worship's all about. It's saying, I want to taste a bit of the truth of who God is, because that truth is good. That truth is amazing. And it's amazing because it has the ability to restore my hope, increase my faith, and lead me to move me into action. To take this life of God into my workplace, to take this place into my school, to take this into wherever my sphere of influence is. When you feel discouraged, we're all pretty rubbish at sharing who God is with people around us. But when we feel inspired and encouraged, it flows naturally. It's not hard work. And so part of that process is becoming better at worshipping God, bringing our circumstances, bringing the things that drag us down into the presence of God in worship and say, God, I can't, this is Laura saying earlier on, I can't deal with this, but I'm going to worship you for who you are. I'm going to worship you for who you are because I've got nothing left. But you, God, can do this. And when God does have a breakthrough in your life, make sure you tell as many people as possible. Because it's the most encouraging thing when God answers prayer, when God does a little miracle in your life. No matter how big or how small it might be, if it's important to you, it can encourage other people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord, it speaks life into our spirits. Heavenly Father, help us bring all that we are to you. That, Lord, when we feel discontent and discouraged, Lord, let us find people around us who are able to inspire us with stories of faith, stories of hope. Lord, stories that move us to want to live this life for you. Lord, help us be a worshipping people and a people who share testimony so that we can all share in tasting and seeing how good you are, Lord. Lord, we lift you high. We worship you, for you are good.